Good. Well, we're going to have our Bible reading, Matthew chapter 4 this morning. We've reached the next part of the story, a very familiar part of the story, but I hope our familiarity doesn't cause us to lose something of the weight of that. So Matthew chapter 4, if you'd like a Bible, here's one. There's another one over here, please. Just wave a hand around. Someone will bring one to you. Matthew chapter 4. We're just going to read from verse 18 through to verse 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Fantastic. Please sit yourselves down. And if you've closed your Bible, please open it again to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And with that open in front of us, we're going to pray together and seek God's help as we look at this part of God's word. Our Father in heaven, for many of us, this is a story that we have heard since before probably we can remember. For some of us, it will be new. But Father, we ask, please, that you would take this story, that you would cause it to live, that the Spirit who inspired it to be written down by Matthew is the Spirit who will cause it to impact us and affect us and shape us today. Father, please, where our minds are distracted this morning for various reasons, please would you give us concentration. Father, please would your word take hold of our hearts today and do us good. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it a waste of time telling people about Jesus? I mean, after all, when was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus and they listened to you? Isn't it a waste of time to be printing off these flyers and going out onto the streets and saying to people, "Hey, would you like to come and hear the good news about Jesus this Christmas?" After all, when was the last time that somebody said yes to your invitation? Isn't it a waste of time trying to tell your family, your friends, your neighbors about the Lord Jesus? After all, don't you just get the same reaction over and over again? Isn't it just a waste of time? Now, I know you guys well enough to know that many of you will be sitting there thinking, "No, Nathan, of course it's not a waste of time. Of course we should be out there. Of course we should be going off telling people about Jesus. That's what we're told to do." But I suspect, if we were honest, deep down or perhaps not so deep down, many of us wonder, really, isn't it just a waste of time? Doesn't seem to have any impact. Going off to tell people about Jesus, trying to share our faith, trying to talk to people about Jesus, just doesn't seem to do anything. You see, we're shaped, aren't we, so often by our experiences rather than by what the Word of God tells us to do. See, many of us are thinking, "I know I should be inviting my neighbor, but I've invited my neighbor to Christmas for the last 200 years and they've never said yes." And many of us are thinking, "Well, I've shared the gospel with my auntie for hundreds of times, and she still doesn't believe." And that shapes us. That's what causes us to think, rather than to allow God's word to encourage us what to do. See, I wonder if you've ever thought like that, really, honestly. Have you ever thought, isn't it just a waste of time? And if you've got even just the seed of that thought, then I want to share with you this morning that this story, familiar as it may be to some of us, actually is a story that we really need to listen to this morning. Why? Because in this short story, we are told, we are shown that trying to talk to people about Jesus, trying to invite people to places where they will hear about Jesus, trying to share directly with people the good news of Jesus is not a waste of time. Our speaking, our inviting, our every effort to share the gospel with people is at the very heart of the way that our Lord Jesus is at work in this world today to gather people to himself and to save them. It is not a waste of time. It's at the heart of his plan. It's that the way that Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, is choosing to work is through our attempts, through our efforts to go and speak about Jesus. It's not a waste of time. And that's because in this story, I just want to show you, there's a big truth that comes out. And here's the big truth. It's this. This story teaches us that Jesus fishes for followers to join his fishing family. What is Jesus doing? What is he doing in this story? What is he doing in our world today? He is fishing for followers. See, look with me at verse 18. Let's just go through the story and just try and pick this apart. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. You know, we're reading. Matthew's put this story down. What's the scene? The scene is an actual fishing scene, isn't it? There's a lake. There's some fishermen. There's a net. It is actual fishing. And onto this scene, verse 18, walks another fisherman. He's not fishing with a net, but this one fishes with his words. He's not fishing for fish. He's fishing for people. See, look at verse 19. Jesus walking beside this lake, what does he do? He says, come, follow me. He casts his net with his words. He throws it out into the lake of the people that are there. And he says, come, follow me. He fishes, not for fish, but for followers. People who will follow him. He fishes for people who he will then put to work in his fishing family. Now, I've deliberately picked that partly because we're going for this theme through Matthew that Jesus calls us into his family. But do you notice the contrast of families here? James and John are in the boat with their father, with their family. They're in one fishing family business, and Jesus calls them out into another fishing family business. This time, verse 19, have a look at what he says. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people. That's how I'm going to use you. And his fishing, Jesus's fishing, is effective fishing. Look at verse 20. As soon as they hear this, at once they left their nets and they followed him. They are caught by Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. And then Jesus does it again. Verse 21 and 22, he goes out from there. He sees another couple of brothers, James, sons of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus throws out his net. He calls people. He calls them with his words, and he catches people, and they become his followers. You see how the story works? Jesus fishes for followers to join his fishing family. He fishes for followers who will turn into people who will then fish for followers. It's all set in this fishing setting, really there just to help us see that that's what Jesus is doing. This is the work of Jesus. We mustn't lose sight of this. I think too often we lose sight of this. His work that he came to do is to fish for people, to catch people with his words, to follow him. Jesus fishes for followers who will join his fishing family. And if that's the plan, if that's what Jesus does, it's what he did when he was here, and it's what he's doing today, what should we do as a result of hearing this story this morning? Well, I want to show you two things. Very simply, first of all, we should follow him. If that's what Jesus is doing, we should follow him. Last year, the Howards went on holiday with some friends. And my friend knew, well, he said he knew where he was going. So he said, follow me. And so we drove our cars in convoy, And we drove for a very long distance. And as we got closer to where we thought we were going, we did several kind of car park stops where you kind of turn around and come back out and go in the other direction. But I was determined I was going to follow him. He said, no, I know where we're going. It's fine. But we did all sorts of crazy things. The most hair-raising part of our journey, I have to say, was when we turned down this country lane, and it sort of turned into this small mountain in Wales. And then it was no road. It was just rocks. And we were just, if you've seen the Howard family van, you'll know how dangerous and terrifying this is, okay? The whole van was shaking like it was going to fall apart. Emma had white knuckles from gripping onto the handle so much. But I was determined I was going to follow him because he said I knew where we were going. And actually, sure enough, after some terrifying kind of moments in our car, he got us to where we wanted to be. I was following behind him. I was letting him take the lead. I was saying, you guide us. You tell us where we're going. You take us there. And that's the idea behind these words of Jesus in verse 19. Come follow me, Jesus says. Literally, he's saying, come behind me. Let me lead you. Let me set the tone. Let me say where we're going. See, we live, don't we, in a follow me culture, particularly you guys who are into social media and that kind of thing. We live in the world, don't we, where we can just click a button and we're following someone. Follow people on Facebook. You can follow people on Instagram or whatever it is and all those other things. You can follow people. But that's not really following someone. To follow someone in its proper sense means that we let them take the lead. We let them become our teacher. We let them become the one who says where we go, who says what we do. We submit to them. That's what it means to follow someone. You want to end up where they take you. Now, think about that for a moment. To follow someone means you want to go where they're leading you. You don't follow someone if you don't want to end up where they are. And Jesus says, follow me. Why? Because he's taking us somewhere. He's leading us somewhere. He's leading us to a place in his royal family. He's leading us to the place of our sins forgiven. If you've been with us for any of Matthew's gospel, you'll see this profile of Jesus that's building up. He's the one who's come into the world to bring the blessings promised to Abraham. He's come into this world to be the leader that God promised to King David. He's come into this world to end the exile that our sins cause. He's come into the world to be a savior of our sins. And here is the one at the center of God's plan. How do we enjoy all those things as we follow Jesus? And that is what he's calling these men to do. Follow me. Follow me. Let me lead you where I'm going. Let me take you where I'm heading. It means that they were following the one who would give them a place in the royal family. Even again, just look back up at verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is kind of heaven's royal family, a place in the people of God, forgiven with him forever. It means that you're going to let him be your teacher. So the very next bit, which we'll probably come to sometime in the new year, chapter 5, look at what happens, verse 1 and 2. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Following Jesus means that you sit at the feet of Jesus and you say, Jesus, teach me. I want to learn. And it means you let him be your savior. One of the dramatic things about this word, follow me, in Matthew, is that you're following the one who's walking to the cross. You're following the one who is heading to the place where he will be judged for our sins. You're following the one who calls us to trust him and what he was doing as he went to the cross. And so Jesus says, come, follow me. Even now, even today, Jesus is calling people to follow him. He's calling people with his words to be his followers, to let him take the lead, to submit to him, to be the one who you follow, who will give you salvation, who will give you a place in heaven's royal family. He's still fishing for followers. And maybe even this morning, he's fishing for you. He's thrown out his net and he says to you this morning, follow me. Follow me. Follow where I'm going to take you. Follow my lead. Let me teach you. Let me give you a place in the royal family. Let me save you from your sins. Follow me. Come behind me. He's still catching people. And how's he doing it? He does it with his words. He does it as you hear a story like this, as you hear verse 19 and these recorded words which came from the very lips of Jesus, come, follow me. That is how he's calling people today, through his words. And he breaks in. This is the wonderful thing about this story, is he breaks into ordinary, everyday lives. I mean, we kind of just ignore the slightly odd thing that happens here. Here are normal guys going about their normal job. And onto the scene walks Jesus, and their whole world changes in an instant. Come, follow me. And they leave their jobs, they leave everything behind, but he breaks into normal lives when they're doing normal things, and he says, come, follow me. And so can I ask you this morning, if you aren't already, will you follow Jesus? Will you come behind him? Will you let him be your savior? Will you let him be the one you trust? Will you let him teach you? Will you follow him as the one who lovingly casts his net out? You know, I don't want to be too hard, but you know, perhaps if you've been coming to church for a while, you know, how many times have you tried to slip the net? I don't know what it's like to be a fish, but I'd imagine that if they're swimming around and the hook's gone down or the net's in, you know, it would be a bit of a game, wouldn't it? You know, ooh, look, the net's come, I'm going to try and avoid it. You see, we see being caught as a negative thing, don't we? You know, most fish actually end up on a plate when they're caught. But actually, when Jesus catches you, he catches you for good. He catches you for your well-being, for your salvation. So will you follow him, the one who has reached out to you in love? And I know following Jesus can be costly, can't it? Look at verse 20. Look at what these guys do. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. There is something often when we follow Jesus that we have to leave behind, whether it's a way of life or whether it's, you know, just a life, sort of a job perhaps that was unhelpful there's just loads of things that we may have to leave behind if we're following Jesus. But actually what it simply means is giving him priority. Priority over other things. This was certainly the case for James and John, wasn't it? Even their father, they leave in the boat and they follow Jesus. And I think sometimes we forget that it comes with a cost. But following him far outweighs what you leave behind. And that's why they did it. You know, you might be thinking, oh, you know, were these guys, what were they doing? But if you look at this story, these were normal guys. And normal guys don't just do crazy things like that. They were just normal fishermen. But there was something about Jesus so compelling, so attractive, so authoritative, that they thought, we're going to leave everything behind to follow this guy. And I would urge you this morning, if you're not following him, to say, actually, do you know what? There's something so compelling about Jesus that I'm going to leave whatever it is behind to follow him, to come behind him, and to be one of his followers. Will you follow Jesus? Will you leave your lake and your boat and your nets behind, whatever they may be? And will you follow him today? And if you are a follower, can I ask you, will you keep following Jesus? It's not a one-off thing. It's a life of walking behind him, of saying, Jesus, I want to go where you're taking me. I want to walk your path. I want to be on your road. I want to let you teach me. I want to be in the place where you end up, which is heaven. Jesus, lead me. Be my follower. I'll be my leader. I want to submit to you. So Jesus fishes for followers, to join his fishing family. And this morning I would simply say, what's the outcome of that for us? Follow him. Follow him. If you're not already, start following him. If you are, keep following him. Keep walking with him. Keep going with him all the days of your life. But the second thing I want to encourage us to this morning from this story is this. Go fish for him. Go fish for him. My grandpa was a very keen fisherman. I remember from kind of the youngest of age, we used to spend our holidays, school holidays at my grandpa's house, and very often I'd go out into his shed, and he'd be getting all his fishing stuff ready, and I'd help him get the fishing stuff ready, but never was allowed to go on a fishing trip. And then eventually, you know, I got old enough, and he said, right, you know, you can come on your first fishing trip with me. And he tried to turn me into a fisherman. And it was a disaster. My first trip with my last trip with my grandpa, I got his rod stuck in a tree. And then when I got bored, I decided to run around. And I ran into a tree and got a black eye. And so when I got home, he said, "I'm sorry, you're not coming with me again." So, but I think the reality is as we try to go fishing for Jesus, many of us feel like it ends up like my first fishing trip with my grandpa, doesn't it? As many of us try to fish for Jesus and tell people about him, and maybe we go out on the streets and we give out an invite and we get all tongue-tied, what we end up feeling like is we've got our rod stuck in the tree and we've got a black eye, and we're thinking, I'm not going to go fishing for Jesus again. I'm useless at it. But if that's how we feel often for what it is for following Jesus and for trying to fish for Jesus, then actually what I want you to see in this story is that Jesus really does take ordinary people. He takes ordinary non-fisher people and he uses us to fish for other people. That's part of the plan. Jesus turns fish into fishermen. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? He takes people that he's caught and he turns them into people that he uses to fish for other people. If you've been caught by Jesus this morning, then can I ask you how it happened? Think about it for a moment. Why are you sitting here? Some of you are probably asking yourself that question right now. But why are you sitting here this morning? The reality was somebody went fishing for you. Somebody fished for you with the good news of Jesus. Somebody fished for you either by inviting you to something, or as your parents casting out the gospel as you were growing up, or your youth leaders, or a combination. The net was thrown in your direction, and in God's kindness, you were caught by Jesus. You heard at some point the voice of Jesus say, "Come, follow me," through all that happened in your life. And you're sitting here today because that happened. And Jesus, you see, used one of his followers, or a combination of his followers, to catch you. And I want to say to you this morning that he wants to use you to do the same. It's not that the kind of the people who caught you were a super breed of Christian. Actually, what does he say? Look at verse 19. "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Every single person he catches in some way, and we'll all have different ways of doing it, but in some way, he will use you to go fishing for others. However useless we may feel at it, however our attempts end up, whether you feel like you've got the rod caught in a tree and you've come home with a black eye, however useless, we've got to understand that this is the plan of Jesus. This is how he's at work. Just as it's right to follow him, it's also right to go fishing for him. See, again, just look at verse 19. "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus fishes for followers today using those he's caught as followers already, using his fishing family. That is how he's gathering people to himself in this world. And my suspicion is that we forget that. We're so used to people saying, "I'm not interested." We're so used to putting an invite in someone's hand and they do nothing with it, that we forget the positive of what Jesus is doing in the world. As we cast out the net in all sorts of directions, I don't know how many of these we gave out yesterday. There was a lovely number of people at the Tots morning yesterday. We gather people, but as we cast out the net, what's our expectation? What should it be? That Jesus catches followers. And so simply this morning, can I encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to go fish for him. Go fish with the message. Throw to them the gospel net and say, Jesus calls people like you to come follow him. Do so knowing that this is how Jesus is calling people to himself today. This is his plan. It's why you're sitting here. It's why I'm a Christian. It's why other people will become Christians, because we go fishing together, knowing that this is how Jesus works. This is the pattern that has rolled on ever since these first guys were caught. You see, if you fast forward to the end of Matthew's gospel, what do you find? You find Jesus saying to these same four men, plus a bundle of other guys that he'd caught, and then a bigger group around them, what does he say to them? He says, go fish, go make disciples of all nations. And he says, I will be with you. I will be with you as you go fishing. I'm doing this. This is my work. And so go fish. Go with confidence. See, one of the things that really comforts me in all this is verse 19. Just a little phrase. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus calls us and equips us to do. See, we don't have to think, well, you know, if you're sitting there thinking I'm useless at it, then probably you're just in the same boat as me. But actually, it's not about how we feel about it. Jesus says, I will make you do this. I will use you to do this. It takes away some of that kind of feeling of rubbishness. Jesus, we're going to do what you tell us to do. Because you say go fish. And so we're going to go fish. Even if we feel rubbish at it. Even if we get all tongue-tied. Even if we get nervous when we're talking to people. Jesus, we want to go fish. Because you said, I will make you fishers of men. And what Jesus calls us to do, he will equip us to do. So go fish for him. Keep fishing. Keep fishing even when everyone around you just seems to say, I'm not interested. Keep fishing. Keep going to tell people to follow Jesus. Fish with confidence that this is how he is at work. It's what Jesus wants us to do. And it's what Jesus is doing in our world to gather this royal family to himself as we go fishing. And so can I encourage you this morning, don't lose heart. I suspect many of us have tried fishing. We've tried telling people about Jesus, and we're sitting here feeling like, I know it's not a waste of time, but it really does feel like it. And if that's you this morning, then remember that Jesus fishes for followers who will join his fishing family. So follow him. Follow him, learn from him, keep following him. But also have some confidence to go fish for him, because it's how Jesus is at work in our world today to gather people like us to himself. Let's pray together about that, and then we'll sing a song together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you. Thank you for the calling work of our Lord Jesus in our own lives. Father, we thank you that we heard the voice of Jesus in whatever way, calling us to follow him. Thank you that we heard him breaking into our ordinary lives, calling us to something greater than what we were doing. Father, we praise you for your mercy to us. And Father, many of us can think of those this morning that we long to see follow you. And Father, please hear our prayers for them, even as we enter the Christmas season and perhaps we're a little bit freer to invite to things. Father, please would this Christmas be the time that those that you've laid on our hearts hear the voice of Jesus and with immediacy follow him. And Father, we also ask that you'd use us, please, to fish for other people in our community. Father, please would Jesus catch people through us, however useless we may feel at fishing for him. Father, please would there be people caught this Christmas. Please, as we enter the new year and as we head as a church family towards doing lots of mission stuff next year, Father, please make us fishers of men. Please would you use us in this great plan of Jesus to catch people and make them his followers. And we ask these things, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.